you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
All right, let's go back, all the way to the fall of 1974 on ABC. Ah, there it is. The theme from Kolchak, The Night Stalker. Kendall Phillips is a professor of communication and rhetorical studies at Syracuse University. Again, the book is Kolchak, The Night Stalker. He's also the author of Projected Fears, Horror Films in American Culture, Dark Directions, Romero, Craven, Carpenter, and the Modern Horror Film, A Place of Darkness, The Rhetoric of Horror in Early American Cinema, and A Cinema of Hopelessness, the rhetoric of rage in 21st century popular culture. Kendall Phillips, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
I'm well, Richard, and I have to say, as a person who spent a lot of late nights, early mornings, driving, listening to Coast AM, it is an incredible honor to be on the show. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is exactly where you should be. I mean, writing this book about, again, one of my favorite television shows. But before we talk about the series, I want to talk about that made-for-TV movie because it made such an impact, not a pleasant one initially for me, because I don't know. I know people throw around that word traumatized a little too much, so that might be going too far. But man, it impacted me for years. Talk to me about the success of that. I think it set ratings records for the movie of the week, didn't it?
It absolutely did. So January 11th, 1972, it was a classic sort of TV movie of the week on ABC. People probably still remember those made-for-television movies and how that was kind of a big deal every week, what was going to be the next ABC movie of the week. And The Night Stalker was this enormous rating success, surprising ABC and everybody else. It really did capture the imagination, and it's interesting, actually, the data suggests that the ratings actually improved as it went on, which suggests, back in the days before social media, that people watching the movie were getting on the phone and calling their friends and saying, oh my gosh, you got to turn on the TV and check this out. But absolutely captured the popular imagination and set the stage for all the later Carl Kolchak adventures to come.
And it was based on an Anne Rice novel that had not yet been published, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, it was actually Jeff Rice, so that's a good... Jeff would have loved to have had
Jeff
Rice's
success. Jeff Rice, right.
Sadly, this was Jeff's... it was an unpublished novel, you're exactly right. Jeff Rice had grown up in Las Vegas. He had actually worked at a newspaper and had lots of various jobs in and around Vegas, so he'd seen all the different sides of the Strip and every other part of that great city, and had written this novel, apparently based partly on a curmudgeonly old reporter that he knew from the newspaper there in Vegas, and could not find a publisher, and yet somebody at ABC wisely recognized the potential brilliance and then got the script or got the novel into exactly the right hands to turn it from a nice but, you know, not particularly exciting manuscript into what would become television history.
Right. And you couldn't ask for a better person to adapt it for TV than the great Richard Matheson.
Absolutely. You know, Richard Matheson is maybe a name some folks who are not, you know, deeply embedded in television history won't remember, but they'll certainly remember some of his works. He wrote the novel I Am Legend that's been adapted several times for movies. He wrote The Incredible Shrinking Man and had a great career writing in television. So he'd written for The Twilight Zone and other sort of gothic sort of properties. So absolutely, Richard Matheson with the script. And then, you know, the other person I think is really crucial to that original success of the first and then even the second television movie was the producer Dan Curtis, who actually has a connection to me. Dan Curtis went to Syracuse University. He was probably also instrumental in pulling together the success of those first two television movies.
Right, best known for his work with The Dark Shadows.
Yeah, it's interesting. Dan Curtis had actually started his career in television as a sports guy. So he had produced a couple of very successful golf shows. So, and yet, apparently, he tells the story that he had a dream one night of this woman standing on a, you know, clouded coast by some old Gothic building somewhere in Maine, and suddenly this whole kind of narrative appeared to him that would become the very, very influential daytime television show Dark Shadows, which began as a kind of traditional Gothic melodrama, and then increasingly, for folks who've seen it know, it included vampires and doppelgangers and old gods and H.P. Lovecraft, and it eventually became a very, very strange, surreal Gothic television show, but certainly opened the door for what was probably Curtis's biggest success in terms of the broad history of television, and that was Kolchak.
And how did Darren McGavin, who played Kolchak, come to be involved in the project?
I mean, if you think back, and again, this may be for some of the younger folks who are deep into television history, but Darren McGavin was a kind of mainstay of American television screens in that period in the late 60s, early 70s. Interestingly, his first major television role had come as a crime-fighting newspaper photographer. So we've already got this idea of Darren McGavin somehow related to journalism. He was also known for a lot of these kind of tough guy, Mickey Spillane kind of Mike Hammer detective figures. And again, none of the series McGavin was on went tremendously long period of time, but this was back in the era where a lot of shows would be one, two, three seasons and out. But Darren McGavin was your kind of classic character actor. He had all that kind of rugged good looks and that cynical charm, and that was immediately who Darren McGavin and the network wanted to get in the role. And obviously, as we've even seen later in history, you could put a lot of people in that role, but Darren McGavin is the person who really brought it to life.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And the accoutrement, the cheap seersucker suit, those dirty tennis shoes, the straw border hat, that cheap Instamatic camera that he wore. He had a little wristband that he wore around. It dangled from his wrist. And he was always chasing the police down the corridor looking for an interview. And he had the tape recorder. Did he bring those to the series?
You are absolutely right, Richard. You're absolutely right. The original plan of the set and costume design folks was to have McGavin in sort of summer wear, like a Hawaiian shirt and maybe shorts, because they were thinking, okay, he's a reporter in Las Vegas, and what would a Las Vegas reporter wear? They'd wear comfort and cool. But McGavin was the person, and I think this is really perhaps the key to Carl Kolchak across the entirety of the movies and the series. He caught a line in the script where Kolchak was talking about wanting to get back to New York, wanting to get back to what had been earlier success in his career. And I've always thought that was one of the keys to Carl Kolchak. He wasn't some young reporter. He wasn't some cub reporter. He was a veteran. He had been closer to the top and now had kind of felt, at least he felt, his career had fallen down to where he ends up in Vegas working for a smaller paper. And so that ambition of Carl Kolchak to get back to New York led Darren McGavin to ask, what would a newspaper reporter from New York in the late 60s, early 70s, what would they have been wearing? And it was the seersucker suit and the straw hat. And McGavin was the person who insisted that's what Carl looks like. He still imagines himself just one plane ride away from stepping back to New York and getting back in with the Times or one of the big papers there. And I think that kind of burning ambition really helps to explain why Carl was consistently willing to go into those basements or those tunnels looking for something, because he thought that was going to be the key to getting him back on top.
So if memory serves, the movie, the TV movie, begins with Kolchak in a motel room speaking into a tape recorder, and it ends the same way. So this kind of journaling, I guess is the term that's very reminiscent of what Bram Stoker did in the novel Dracula, because that book is all about, you know, journals and documents, and it's that's the way the story unfolds. So I'm guessing, I mean, was that what Matheson, did he make a conscious decision that he was going to use that same sort of literary device of Bram Stoker and bring it to television?
Absolutely. And Richard, you're exactly right. And in fact, it was fairly common of those early Gothic novels. You know, certainly Dracula is the most prominent of those, but even earlier, like the late 18th century Gothic novels like Castle Otranto and The Monk, and these very first novels that were bringing these kind of mysterious castles and ghosts to English reading audiences, they often use that letter format where someone is saying, let me tell you the story of what happened, or I had this strange thing happen to me last night, I'm going to write about it here in my diary or send a letter off. And that kind of creates this interesting frame. So, and this was, you know, consistent throughout the Night Stalker movies and then the television series, is that we would usually begin with Carl saying, let me tell you the story of this mysterious, strange thing. Then we see the story, and then we get to the end. And it's also, of course, reminiscent of, you know, TV and film noir, where we often had the hard-boiled detective coming to say, let me tell you a story, and then we get to see the story unfold.
All right, we have to talk about the vampire, Barry Atwater. And what I think I found maybe most frightening was he had a name, this vampire. I mean, he just, it wasn't just the vampire, right?
Oh, it was Janos Skorzeny. What a creepy name.
Exactly. So tell me about the casting of Barry Atwater as the vampire, who has no lines in the movie.
No, it's interesting across the Kolchak series, as well as the TV movies, many of the monsters don't actually get any lines. It's occasionally they do, but certainly that starts with Janos Skorzeny, who was, by the time you get to 1972, already fairly well known to audiences as a slightly supernatural, strange character. He probably, folks would remember him from Star Trek, where he played the Spock's father. He'd also appeared in a variety of sort of, you know, Twilight Zone episodes and the Night Gallery and things. So audiences watching would have recognized Barry Atwater both as a kind of familiar character actor, but also as a character actor often playing those slightly strange alien or gothic figures.
Also, if memory serves, I don't know if this was Richard Matheson's doing or who made the decision, but Janos sort of broke with the vampire code. I remember, I mean, he walked around in the daytime. He would break into people's homes, you know, to find his victims. He didn't have to be invited into their homes. Talk to me a little bit about that, you know, breaking that vampire code.
Yeah, I think, honestly, the thing that the TV movie, and again, enormously successful popular TV movie, I think what it did that was the most important and influential and part of what really brought audiences and really set Kolchak and the Night Stalker into the popular imagination was it took this old traditional gothic monster, the vampire. And again, we've seen that all the way back to Bram Stoker, and we've seen all kinds of iterations of this Victorian era wearing a cape, I will drink your blood sort of vampire. But rather than get wrapped up in those old folklore, they took that character or that monster and put it very much in 1970s America, so that the vampire has to rent a car, he has to rent a house, he has to walk around the Vegas Strip looking for victims. When he kills someone, the police look for him, right? Reporters, there's autopsies, it's in the newspaper. And so you really took that very old traditional monster that we've all seen with Bela Lugosi and in Bram Stoker's novel, but put it in a modern America where there's reality. Like, it's not just some mysterious figure magically appearing and disappearing. They have to live in the real world. And that's, I think, what really made the Night Stalker so terrifying. It didn't seem like something that happened over there or back then. It seemed like something that really could be happening right now, down the street, in that alleyway just behind the Vegas Strip.
Right. Janos Skorzeny was totally devoid of charm. There was no, you know, there was no romantic subtext or anything like that. He was just a vicious, ruthless killer.
Absolutely, and he robs the blood bank, which is now kind of classic joke. But he you know, to find food. So this is much more a predator in the serial killer mode than it is Frank Langella or Bela Lugosi in this kind of romantic figure. And that, again, I think that's one of the things the series was consistently good at doing, is taking mythic figures from the past and putting them into the very real world of today, which, of course, makes them all the more terrifying.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.